From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyatt in for Ross Reynolds. Back in 2009, President Barack Obama promised to reduce U.S. greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change. And today he announced he's taking action. The president will target emissions from power plants. He's also questioning the construction of the controversial Keystone XL pipeline.
Allowing the Keystone pipeline to be built requires a finding that doing so would be in our nation's interest. And our national interest will be served only if this project does not significantly exacerbate the problem of carbon pollution. The net effects of the pipeline's impact on our climate will be absolutely critical to determining whether this project is allowed to go forward.
Joining us with more on the president's speech is David Roberts. He writes about energy policy for the Seattle-based environmental magazine Grist. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Dr. Grist. David Roberts, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
And while you're there, follow us at KUOW Convo. The Keystone XL pipeline is going to potentially carry oil from the Canadian tar sands to refineries down in Texas. Do you hear President Obama saying Keystone is dead?
No, it would be premature to say that. I do think he has raised the stakes yet again. To me, the significance of his comments was that he moved the question of carbon pollution to the center of the Keystone debate, where it had been lots of people have been trying to marginalize that, focus more on energy security or jobs or other questions. And he has put carbon right at the center of the debate. But there's, you know, depending on what state determines in its assessment, they could still determine that it won't increase greenhouse gases and it could still be approved. But it's certainly the stakes are raised yet again.
So this was the big climate speech. Did you expect that he would bring up Keystone?
I and everyone else thought that he would just leave it aside. I thought that he would say nothing about it. He's been trying to keep it separate from the sort of climate discussion for months. So the fact that he took it on squarely was a shock to me and I think everyone.
We're talking about Barack Obama's big speech on climate change earlier today. And with us is David Roberts. He writes about energy policy and climate for the Seattle-based environmental magazine Grist. The other big thing in this speech is the president's announcement on EPA standards on power plant emissions. Roughly one third of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions come from power plants. What's the significance of the president's announcement today?
Well, the regulations on power plants will be extremely significant. What he said today was not particularly significant. He said he's going to issue a memorandum telling EPA to issue the standards. And as it happens, EPA is required by law, by statute, to issue these standards. So it doesn't, all he said basically is, I won't stop them from doing it. He didn't say anything about how stringent they would be or how much they would cut emissions. Nonetheless, though, EPA emission standards on power plants are the single biggest climate move that Obama is capable of without Congress.
And what had happened before this? I mean, had the EPA talked about regulating carbon emissions but hadn't really done anything?
Sure. I mean, it's been inevitable ever since the Supreme Court ruled that carbon can be considered a pollutant under the Clean Air Act. Ever since then, the process has been going forward. And EPA has been working on these standards. They actually almost released a standard for new power plants and then pulled it back because of some legal concerns. But work has been underway on these for a long time. The significant news from yesterday is that there's a timeline now. There will be standards proposed by next June and finalized by the June after that, assuming they meet their deadlines, which they haven't always done.
And I read that it's possible that this will create incentives for essentially power producers to shift from these older coal-burning plants, especially in the Midwest, that were grandfathered in under the Clean Air Act, to newer potentially natural gas-burning plants. Is that clear from what we've seen so far?
Well, the open secret is that that's already underway just because of economics. There's so much cheap natural gas flooding the market that utilities are already switching from coal to natural gas. So in a sense, these regulations are just putting a stamp on something that's already taking place. What they'll do is make sure that the shift is permanent.
David Roberts is telling us about the president's speech earlier today on U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. He writes about energy policy for the Seattle-based environmental magazine Grist. How are environmental groups responding to this announcement today?
Everyone is thrilled, as far as I can see. I mean, everyone was prepared to be very supportive just based on the content of the plan they had seen beforehand. But the fact that he went and put carbon at the center of the Keystone fight is sort of a cherry on top. So everybody I know in the green community is excited.
And on the other side, Senator Mitch McConnell saying this is not the right time to address the climate problem, saying that, you know, basically increasing the cost of energy could stall the recovery. Why do you think the president chose this time to act or to give this speech?
The timing of the speech is peculiar, and I'm not sure exactly why they chose now. I mean, I wonder when Mitch McConnell would think it's the right time to regulate coal plants. The fact is, Obama begged Congress and begged Congress and begged Congress to act on this, and they refused and refused and refused. And so now he's doing what he can do without them.
I also saw that John Kerry was in India this week talking to them about climate and climate change and what they could do about it. How significant, or what did the president have to say about international agreements and international diplomacy on addressing the problem?
Well, this is the sort of nut and bolts international work that is sort of boring to people outside the field, but incredibly significant. There's a lot of talk about bilateral work with China and India about carbon sequestration, about cleaner coal plants, about efficiency. And this is the kind of work that goes on behind the scenes but pays dividends slowly over time. And it's good to see it getting accelerated. And it's good to see John Kerry at the head of state because he takes this very, very seriously and puts it at the heart of his work.
David Roberts of Grist is with us. We're talking about the president's speech earlier today saying the U.S. is going to start tackling U.S. greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change. And the president said, you know, he's not able, this is an executive action, he's not able to work with Congress on this. You know, what's his argument there?
Well, Congress has made it crystal clear that it's not going to do anything to help Obama on this issue, or any issue, really. I mean, stalemate is complete at this point. So Obama is doing what he can do with the executive branch of government, which mostly means operating through agencies like EPA and like the Department of Interior.
Is there a risk here for the president and for environmentalists that, you know, the next president comes in, perhaps it's a Republican, they can just reverse this because it's an executive order? He hasn't worked with Congress.
Sure. But it has proven very difficult historically to undo some of these things. I mean, EPA clean air and water standards have proven incredibly durable despite many, many attempts by Republicans to roll them back over the years. And once you insinuate this stuff into the federal bureaucracy, you know, George Bush was very smart about this. Cheney, actually, was very smart about this. Once this is insinuated in the federal bureaucracy and shapes the way they behave and shapes the way they think, it becomes very hard to unwind that. It's like trying to pull a fabric out of or pull a string out of a large fabric. It's hard to undo this stuff once it's done.
All right. We talked about Keystone. We talked about power plant emissions. What else was in the president's speech today?
Well, one of the big sections was about adaptation, was about preparing for changes that are already inevitable. And there's a lot of talk about working with cities to share best practices on how to protect against floods and blackouts and all this kind of thing. This is really an underappreciated story, but it's also something that's the action is overdue.
Where do you think that's headed? I mean, what needs to be done, or what's the president saying he's going to do?
Well, the federal government can only do so much. A lot of this stuff is under state and city control. So mostly what federal agencies can do is play a coordinating role, bring people together, get them talking, get them sharing, share best practices and that kind of stuff. But one political effect, I think, will be once cities really start getting a concrete sense of how much it's going to cost to prepare for this stuff and to protect against it, there's going to be a lot more willingness to reduce CO2 emissions and try to prevent some of it, which is much cheaper, it turns out, than adapting to it after the fact.
All right, last question. Back in 2009, the president said he wanted to reduce U.S. greenhouse gas emissions 17% below 2005 levels, and he wanted to do that by the year 2020. Any sense of whether or not he's actually going to get us there?
Well, that's what he promised in Copenhagen, and that's what the administration says it is trying to achieve with these measures. It didn't actually release or offer any sort of breakdown of the emissions impact of this stuff. So we're just sort of, at this point, we're just taking their word for it. It's hard to know how it will add up, but that is still what they say is their target, yes.
So it's unclear exactly how much we're going to be reducing emissions as a result of the speech today.
Sure, and a lot of this stuff is just hard to predict the impact because it's its cultural and political impact as much as it is sort of a impact on emissions themselves. And that kind of thing is very difficult to predict.
All right. David Roberts, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
He writes about energy policy for the Seattle-based environmental magazine Grist. You can also follow him at Twitter at Dr. Grist, and he was telling us about the president's speech earlier tackling U.S. greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.